Welcome to Tosfos Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Basra Daf Chof Tes. We will be beginning today's shiur from unfinished business from our last shiur on Daf Chof Ches, the Tosfos Dibur Hamaschil VeDilma that you'll find at the bottom of the Daf Chof Ches Tosfos page. Dibur Maschil V'Dilma Eitz Toivu K'Mashmalon. This is a reference to the Gemara on the last line of Daf Chof Ches Amud Beis. We saw Rav Yosef, and by the way, we have a taksir, a condensed presentation of what Tosfos will deal with on the side. So let's read it together. Tosfos Mitzayin Dehoya Mokim Lishoil Al Halimushu of Yosef Mirmio. Tosfos points out that there is room to ask on the source that Rav Yosef cited from Yirmiyo, Eich Royim Gimel Shonim. How do we see from there that a chazaka is gained over a period of 3 years, and then less than 3 years is not sufficient? Umevi Girsas Horach. Tosfos will quote the version of the Rach, Shiesh Hava Mina Lilmoid Mimenu Gimel Shonim Avol Dochehu. But Tosfos, after presenting the Girsas Rach, will then reject that approach. By way of markings, we have a diamond, and under our Mivneh structural note, the diamond represents Kushios Shenitan Lahakshois al Hagirsois Shelonu Vishalarach. Questions that can be raised on our Girsa and the Rach's Girsa. Another marking that you'll see in the course of the Tosfos, a volcano shape, highlights the expression Shahare Novi, and then a dotted underlined expression will follow, indicating the year of the Novi and his prophecy. This is a simun, a marking, lahavlit es hashoni bein shnei girsos anal. We'll use this marking to highlight the difference between the two versions. So now we turn to the Tosfos, the Dilma Eitzotoyva Kamash Malon, the Gemara in rejecting Rav Yosef's citation from the Pasuk in Yirmiyo, said that maybe all that one is to derive from there is that the Novi was supplying them with a piece of good advice, and not that we use that information for any halachic conclusions. Hachi Nami Motzi Lemifrach. Tosfos says the Gemara, in questioning Rav Yosef and rejecting Rav Yosef's suggestion, could have taken the following approach. V'dilma b'soich eser havekoi. Maybe the prophet Yirmiyo was standing in the 10th year. Umazir al tchilas achas esrei, and was warning them that they had better prepare shtaros in anticipation of the beginning of the 11th year. And we learned in the Gemara that we're talking about a time period that in anticipation of their becoming exiled, of purchasing, if they're going to purchase lands and expect to lay claim to them, they had better be careful and with their documents. And it could be that the time frame is such that the Novi was speaking in the 10th year and was warning about the beginning of the 11th year, that there's going to be an exile. The Lekofilu Shona, within this time frame, you don't even have one full year. Ula'olam b'shona achas havi chazoka. Had they been able to remain on their land before being exiled one full year, that would have been enough. So we don't see from there any reference to 3 years. V'rach Piresh de Rav Yosef Yolif Hochi. The Rach has his approach to Rav Yosef and his attempt to learn from the Psukim in Yirmiyo, Vigoris, and his girsa is as follows: Sharei Novi Oimed Beteisha Umazir Al Achasisrei Shetilokeinu Yir. The Novi was prophesying in the ninth year concerning the capture of the city, and hence the exile in the 11th year. The Yovdu Hashtoros, and their documents will be lost. The Yismachu Al Cheskas Shaloshonim, and they'll have to rely on a chazaka of 3 years in being able to lay claim to their land. Umevi Rayo Miseder Olam, and the Rach brings a proof from the Seder Olam, a historical recording, the Bishona Chias Bechodesh Asiri Hoya, that the prophecy was in the ninth year, in the tenth month. So if you accept that Girsa, so you would see then a reference to 3 years, the ninth year, the tenth year, and the 11th year. And they're going to, because of the exile, they're going to lose their shtaros, and they're going to have to rely on a chazoka of 3 years. And that would be achieved, if you look at things through the eyes of the Rach, that would be achieved by their presence in on the land in the ninth year of the king's realm, tenth year, and the 11th year, and then the onset of the exile. Umiu, however, b'chol hasfarim shalanu kosuv sherinovi omei ba'asiri, in all of our textual versions, the Novi is prophesying in the 10th year. V'chein b'seder olam shelonu tanya, and also in our Seder Olam, that's the work that presents a historical record, we have the following. B'shono ha'asiris. The ode, furthermore, de legirsoso nami kashya. Even if you were to adopt the Rach's girsa of the Novi prophesying in the ninth year, there still remains a difficulty. Minole shaloshonim miyom liyom. Where do you see their presence on the land for 3 consecutive years, 3 full consecutive years? De lefigirsa seder oilam leko ela shmoina asar chodesh. If you look carefully at the girsa of the Seder Olam, you only have their presence on the land for 18 months. Shrei b'shona achas esrei l'chodesh ravi b'tisha l'chodesh huv keha ha'ir. In the 11th year, on the fourth month, ninth day of the fourth month of the 11th year, the walls of the city were penetrated, and the onset of the exile. So if you, even according to the Rach's version of things, you have the passage of time from the prophecy, which was in the ninth year, the tenth month, and keep track of your counting from that point, ninth year, tenth month, till the 11th year, fourth month. That fourth month is only the ninth day of the fourth month. And that doesn't give you very much by way of as far as a month is concerned. So you have only a sum total of 18 months, and you don't see 3 full years that would be required for a chazaka, even according to the Rach's version. We continue with the next thesis on Daf Chof Tes Omid Aleph. Dibur HaMaschil Shasa, the top thesis. This is a reference to the Gemara, 9 lines from the top. Again, this is the Gemara that we learned in our previous year. Shasa Kamaisa Lo Kopid. We were at this point in the Gemara dealing with the question of where do the Rabbonon learn 3 years from. So the Gemara was suggesting, you know, we saw Rava making a suggestion that being that a chazaka is a function of use of land in such a way that the that it would that if it weren't legitimately his, the machziks, his use would have, we'll say, incited the original owner to protest, and that we can evaluate only after 3 years. And why is that? So the Gemara said, Rava pointed out, the first year a person is not makbid. The second year a person is not makbid. On the third year, he is makbid. Now, Tosfos, we have a taksir, a condensed version of what Tosfos is going to present on the side, which reads as follows. Tosfos masbir, Tosfos will explain, Loma rak alivad Rabbi Shmuel aminon deloimdin mishra muad velo alivad rabbonon. Why we'll explain why the derivation of 3 years, the concept of three, is from the case of the Shor Hamuad as being applicable only to Rabbi Yishmael and not the Rabbonan. Just now we suggested that after 3 years, if the owner remains silent, that's a sign that he must have, in fact, sold the land to the current possessor, to the machzik. But don't you see three there as well in the realm of the Rabbanon? Could that not have been something that's ascribed to the Shor Hamuad example? So now we turn to the Tosfos. Tema, if you're going to use this, let's say, approach, saying that first year, no hakpoda, second year, no hakpoda, third year, that would go by, then there's hakpoda. In Cain, mino lon de Rabbi Shmuel davke yolef mishra muad v'lo rabbonan. From where do we know to conclude that the limud from Shmuel muad is applicable only to Rabbi Shmuel and not the rabbonan? In unami motzi gamri mishra muad. They too could, in fact, base their approach from the Torah precedent of Shor Hamuad, the Hainu Taimo Nami Deliel de Gomar Mishor Hamuad. This was the reasoning we used earlier for presenting Shor Hamuad as the source for Chazok of Gimel Shanim. They came with a Kopid Gimel Zimnin, the Lo Micha, since the owner would have been Makbid, would have been unrelenting for with someone else's use and yet did not protest. Im Cain, if that is so, Varai Mochro Oy Nosnolo. If a person would otherwise, if he had not sold it, bin Makbid, and in fact remained silent, then that's a sure sign that he sold it. So why do we not say that that is patterned on Shor Hamuad, which, of course, after three gorings, gains a new status of being a goring ox? V'yesh lomar, Tosfos answers, delo domi. You cannot compare the approach of the Rabbonan, as Rava suggests, to Rabbi Yishmael's approach. Devadai de Rabbi Yishmael de Ozel Boser Achilos Shapir Motzi Lemigmar Mishor Hamuad. Rabbi Yishmael, who goes according to Achilos, means literally eatings. It's a reference to, let's say, crop harvests. So according to Rabbi Yishmael, who bases himself according to three crop harvests and consumption on the part of the mafsik, he can learn motzi l'migmar mishor hamuad. He can certainly learn from shor hamuad. Dema hasam huchsuk nakon begimel palmim afkan b'sholosh achilos imlo shemochro lo hoya makbid v'ein ze v'ze tluyim b'shihu izman. If a person would remain silent and upon three crops of his field being consumed, that's a sign that he must have sold it. There's a three, we'll call it three eating actions on the part of the machzik are parallel to three goring actions on the part of the shor. Neither one is time dependent. Avol l'rabbonon the tolui b'shiri zman kama yashe v'yakpid. According to the Rabbanon, though, who say that the development of a chazaka is based on a time factor. How much time would a person who owned land allow his land to be cultivated by someone else and remain silent? Again, emphasis on time factor. Lo shaykh l'migmar m'shor muad. That's not something we would derive from shor hamuad. So, just to review, shor hamuad is the function of an action repeated three times. Rabbi Shmuel was also an action of field consumption three times, three crops. There you see a parallel. But the Rabbanan, who are not based on, say, action per se, but rather a time factor, that is not parallel to the case of shor hamuad. I just want to make a minor correction in the Tosfos. When back on the third line from the top, we said the Hainu Taimonami Diliel de Gomer Mishwar Muad. The reasoning there was that Diliel is a reference to Rabbi Shmuel and the three crops that was derived from Shmuel Muad. The given the Kopet Begimel Zimnin Velo Micha. There were three times. The three times would be reference to the three crops. We continue with the next Tosfos, Elo Me'ato. This is Abaye addressing Rava, 17 lines from the top of Chof Tesamet Aleph. If you're going to base Chazaka Gimel Shonim, according to the Rabbanan, on a person's guarding of his shtaros, that after 3 years we don't expect people to watch their shtaros. So Abaye asks, Elo Me'ato, Macho Shelo Befonov, Lo Tehe Macho, a protest on the part of the owner, original owner, if it's not done in the presence of the current occupant, it shouldn't be considered a Macho, and the result would be that the occupant would have a Chazoka. And what is that logic based on? It's based on the taina, the machzik, the occupant has, whereby he could say to the original owner, if you would have been moiche in my presence, so I would have been careful with the shtar. The fact that you didn't come to express your objection in my presence, I didn't take your protest seriously, and therefore if you're going to base the idea of Geches Gimel Shonim on a person's care of his shtar, then that would result, that taina would result, that a macha shelo b'fonav would not have been effective in warning the occupant. And yet we know that's not true. We know that a macha shelo b'fonav is considered a macha. Omer Ri, now you'll see that this Tosfos essentially is one point, and that's why you can see we have a long point marking. Omer Ri, the leko l'ukmi pircha d'Abaye, the circumstances around Abaye's objection are limited. Elo keshehen dorin b'ir achas, where the Morakama and the Machzik are in the same city. That if they're in the same city, only then the machzik has that claim against the morakama. Had you been serious in your hakpada, you would have come to be moicha in my presence. And therefore, if you didn't bother coming to my direct presence, to my face, so to speak, and protest, I didn't take it seriously. Di b'yir acheres, if this involved even a case where the Morakama was in a different city, Hechi Porach, how could the issue be raised of Delo Tehe Macho Utei Chazoka? that the macha would not be viewed as a serious macha, and the result would be that the occupant gains a chazaka, as we explained. Hadarabah, to the contrary, if the morakama was in a different city, kevon de lo havio macha, there we would have said, since it's not a macha, lo havio chazaka, there is no chazaka to be gained on the part of the occupant. Daha eino tzorich lavo biir acheres lefnei hamachzik v'limchos kidem muchach lekamon. There's no expectation on our part that the original owner is expected to travel from his different city from where he is to where the occupant is on the land. And since there's no expectation on our part of the original owner traveling, if you were going to say that a macha shelo b'fonav lo teheve macha, then the result would be that there is no chazaka, and not like the thrust of our Gemara, where Abaye's objection was in the direction of suggesting that a macha shelo b'fonav would actually result in there being a chazaka. So the re, just to review the main point, is limiting Abaye and his suggestion to a case where the Morakama and the Machzik are in the same community. At this point, we go back to the Gemara on Daf Choftes, Omer Aleph, 20 lines from the top, where you see Omar Rav Huna. Now, the Gemara. Omar Rav Huna. Shalosh shanim she'amru hu she'ochlan ritzufos. This, by the way, is the topic heading that we have on the side under the Nosei, which reads, Cheskas gimel shanim boi lios gimel shanim ritzufos. The 3 years that the Rabbonon require for a chazaka have to be 3 consecutive years. Velo mikutos, and not 3 partial years, which we call chelki. Umefuzoros means separated or scattered, where you would have a sachakol gimel shanim, avelo beretzef. There you would have a possibility of 3 full years, but they're not consecutive. That too is what we are ruling out. So Rav Huna says that the 3 years that we require are such that you consume the produce ritzufos, 3 consecutive years, and not mefuzaros. The Gemara asks, "My komashum lantanina?" What's Rav Huna informing us that we don't know from the Mishnah? Which the Mishnah already said, "Cheskos and shalosh shanim yoim liyom," 3 years from day to day. That would indicate 3 consecutive years. So what is Rav Huna, what is he adding that I don't know from the Mishnah? So Ma'u Detema, I would have thought, namely without Rav Huna, that Miyom Liyom, the expression in the Mishnah, Miyom Liyom, Lafuke Mikutos, that's simply to the exclusion of partial years. Ulaolam Afilu Mufuzaros, a chazaka could be gained even through 3 scattered years, literally means spread out, namely use of the land, let's say, in year 1, skipping a year and then using it in year 3, skipping another year and then using it eventually again in year 5, 1, 3, and 5. There you've got 3 full years. They just happen to be mufuzaros. If therefore, had I had the Mishnah that says, Shalosh shanim yom liyom, I would have thought all that we're excluding is 3 partial years. But 3 complete years, even if they're not consecutive, that might be a good chazaka. Komash Malon, that's what Rav Huna comes to fill in, that you need to have 3 full consecutive years. Omar Rav Chamo, Umodi Rav Huna. Here we have a new marking, and we draw your attention to the Mivne, the structural note, where this crown shape highlights an expression where you'll find Umode. Different Rabbanon that appear in this sugya will be conceding. That's Mikrim Miuchadim Shebahem Deos Elu Oizin Es Emdoson, where we'll see particular points of view that depart their stance given certain unique circumstances. So Rav Huna will concede Umoidi Rav Huna in our Gemara Beasri de Moivri Bagi. Masri means in locations. Bagi are fields. Movri from the word boor means places, regions where the cultivation is not done in successive years, but we'll say in staggered years. There are years in which the fields are cultivated, and years in which they are left fallow, deliberately. Movri bagi, they leave their fields fallow, and by doing so, the years that they actually do cultivate the fields, they get much more, so that the allowing their fields to rest, so to speak, enables them to amass more nutrients and produce experience greater productivity in the years that they're being cultivated. So Rav Huna concedes that there is a chazoka over 3 years, even if they're not consecutive, in Asri, the Movri, Bagi, and places like that where they'll plant it 1 year and they leave it fallow another year. So in a case like that, you'll have a chazoka after 3 years, but the 3 years are actually scattered over a greater period of time. The Gemara asks, Pshita, is even without Rav Huna, would I not know that? Namely, that if it's Asra Demovri Baki, the 3 years are not going to be through three consecutive years. So the Gemara says, no, it's not obvious, it's not Pshita. Lo Tzu, the Ika Demovri, Vika the Lo Mover. Then the region, we have some people that do leave them their fields fallow, and there are some that don't. V'hai gavra movra, and the machzik in our, it's in our sukya, the our machzik left the field fallow. Mahu detemo motzi omar le, you, without this Gemara, I would have thought that the Amora Kama, the original owner, could say, if it really was yours, then you should have planted it. Therefore, our Gemara, where it said, reveals to us the Omerle, that the Machzik can respond to the Morakama, Chada Ara Bekule Baga Lo Motzi Lintar. One field in an entire region where the rest of the fields are not cultivated, hence they're not guarded, it becomes exceptionally difficult to watch one field, a singular field in an entire valley, an entire region where the fields aren't being cultivated and hence not being guarded. And therefore, I wasn't going to cultivate my field and then have to hire guards to watch just my field. That creates probably a much greater expense than guards watching a collective number of fields where the guard costs are distributed amongst all the different owners. So the machzik can say to the morakama, the reason I didn't cultivate it in three consecutive years is because the others around me had the practice of leaving the field fallow. V'inami b'hachi nichali the avda tve. Another justification on the part of the machzik not using the field, not cultivating the field in successive years, is because this is better for me for greater crop production, as we explained earlier. Tanan. So at this point, we have to bear Rav Huna's din in mind, namely the Sholoshanim is Shu Shochlin with Sufos. And we now raise a question from our Mishnah. It said, Cheskes Abatim, Fabotim, Debimoma Yadi, Belele Lo Yadi. As far as use of houses are concerned, during the daytime it's known, it can be known. In the nighttime it's not known. And since you're not going to have witnesses for the use of the house at night, what's the cheskas batim? How is that gained? It's gained through 3 years of daytimes. That would be 3 years of daytimes. That's mefuzaros. That's three. Those are scattered years, and yet there is a chazaka. Let us take a look at the Rashbam in the wide lines, about the eighth wide line, seventh eighth wide line. Beleili lo yati, vafilu hachi. Even so, even though you don't have witnesses for the use of the house at night, havi chazaka, there is a chazaka that's gained. That's the Mishnah said, cheskas habatim. The bishlamo gabi sode v'chol hanoch ein daken lasis melacha b'leila. I understand the other cases, fields and the other elements mentioned in the Mishnah. It's not customary to be used for or work being done at night. Ukshemidim edim al melechas yimei shaloshanim arizu chazaka. And where I have witnesses that will testify about three successive years of use during the daytime, that creates a chazaka. Avobotim shederech lodur bahen b'layla. Houses which are customarily used at night as well, and he cannot, the occupant can't bring witnesses to testify that he was there at night. And since he doesn't have witnesses for the night times, then when we speak about 3 years of daytime use, that would be only 3 years means 3 times 365. So you want to have 365 day uses. That's going to be achieved only over the course of, let's say, 6 years. We want to have 365, say, 24 hour periods. If Rav Huna is to be accepted, then the original owner could claim, I saw that you were not there at night, and therefore I didn't bother protesting. By your not being there at night, you reveal that it's not really yours. So why does the Mishnah say that there is a chazaka? So we turn back to the Gemara. So at this point, our question is, you see that the Shalosh Shanim can actually be mifuzaros against Rav Huna. You notice diamonds, and on the side of the Gemara there are nosei/mivneh heading. We indicate shtei tshuvos lahasbir, two responses to explain shal batim yesh edus gam al hashimush balelos. Regarding houses, there in fact is testimony regarding their use at night. Umemela ein cheskos mifuzaros. And if that be the case, then the 3 years are quite successive, and they're not mifuzaros. Now, the Gemara, Omar Abaye, Man Masir Abotim, who is to be expected to say testimony about the Machzik being in the house, in houses? Shivavi, the neighbors. Shivavi, may the Yadi, the Mama Uba Lelia, neighbors will be aware and be able to testify about the use of the house at night, by day and by night. Rova Omar, if you want another approach, how you have testimony concerning three full years, which would mean day and night use, the following would be the case. Two come forward, the Amri, and they would announce, they would testify, Anan Agrinon Mine, we rented the property from him, from the Machzik, Vidorinon Beitlos Shonin Bimovalela, and we lived in the houses 3 years, having rented it from the Machzik, and we've been living there day and night. Omar le Rav Yemar le Rav Ashi. Rav Yemar raises a question on what Rava just said. How can that be acceptable testimony? Hani noigin beidusan hein. Those renters, tenants, they have a vested interest. De lo amri hachi. Their testimony is not something that's, let's say, free on their part, that they can be relied upon because they could have said whatever they wanted. Not so. They had a vested interest in saying that the property belonged to the machzik. The lo amri hachi, if they wouldn't have said thusly, amrinon luhu, then we would tell them, zilu havu le agar beisalahai. In other words, if they wouldn't testify that the property belonged to them, that they rented from the machzik and were there day and night, then we would tell them, oh, you've got to pay the morakama, his rent, the rent that's due to him. Omar Lay, so Rav Ashi says back to Rav Yemar, Daini Deshveli Daini Hachi. Only lowly judges would accept testimony from tenants that already paid their rent. Of course, in the scenario that you presented would not be considered legitimate testimony. They have a vested interest because they already paid their rent money. If the machzik would not win the case, then we would tell these guys to pay a second time to the morakama. So what would be an acceptable form of testimony? Milo askinon kegon de nekiti agrabesa. Are we not in fact talking about a case where, you know, those Rava who said that the tenants could be a source of testimony? Is it not a case where they're holding the money? They didn't pay the money yet. They're holding the agar besa, the rent money, the amri, and they're saying, Leman Leisve, to whom should we give the money? So that if you have people that already paid their rent, so then of course they're no gaviedus. Rava wasn't talking about a case like that. Rava was talking about people who say, we had an agreement to rent from the machzik, and we're holding the money. To whom should we pay the rent money? Before we continue with the Gemara, it's worth noting that the Rashbam has his approach, and he says that what Mar Zutra is going to tell us is milsubah b'nafsha. It's an independent, unrelated point. However, when we get Amir Tzashem to the Tosfos, you will see a completely different approach. In fact, two Bali Tosfos with their respective approaches tie this Gemara into that which preceded it. So, in the meantime, since we're at the Gemara stage, we're going to take the Rashbam's approach, and as he says, this is a separate point. Before we go further, we glance at the side. We have a Nosei topic heading, which reads, Dino Shomar Sutra, Afapi delo bo'inon shi'aidu b'feirush al hashimush b'leilos mabayis, even though we don't require that the testimony concerning house use over 3 years states in explicit terms use at night, im ton ha-ma'arer shi'ovi ha-machzik edim. If the original owner demands of the occupant to bring witnesses concerning use during the nights as well, so his claim is legitimate. I repeat, this approach is going to be debated, challenged, or let's say an alternative stated when we get to the Tosfos. The Gemara, Omar Marzutra, V'itoyin V'omar, if the Ma'arer demands in explicit terms, Le Sutre Sadi, La Sudi, Le Dedor Beit Tlos Shoni, B'yamama Ubalelia, Tano Seitaina, if he says, I want you to bring witnesses that you dwelt in the house 3 years, day and night. So then it's a legitimate claim, and the machzik will have to do so. Otherwise, he'll lose his case. However, if the Morakama does not say beferush, I want testimony about the nights, the witnesses don't have to testify about the nights. The Gemara continues at the top of Omid Beis. Umoidi Marzutra, the crown shape we mentioned earlier, was where you see a particular dea departing from what they said. Marzutra will concede Beroichlin Hamachzirin Bayoros. In a case like this, where the original owner is a traveling merchant, a cosmetic perfume merchant who circulates amongst the various towns, and he isn't so aware of what's going on, let's say, with his property. The Afagav de Lo Toan, in a case like that, where he is the Morakama, even if he doesn't demand explicitly testimony about use at night, Tanino Leanan, we will taina on his behalf. The Rashbam, on the third line from the top, Moidihu, Hechod Havim Ara Roichel Machzir Bayoros, Limchor Kishute Noshim. In the case where the ma'arer, where the original owner, the one who's protesting, is that kind of individual, a traveling salesman, he doesn't come back to town, to his own town, until a long time passes. The afagav de lotoyin, even if he doesn't say, I want the machzik to bring witnesses that he dwelt there day and night. We will intervene on his behalf. The Dilmo, Mishum de lo kviya b'masa, Isik zeh b'veso. It could be that since the Morakama, who's a Roichel, is not constant, not frequent in his own town, therefore, Isik zeh b'veso, the Machzik took advantage of that and occupied his house. V'chiyavi osi b'masa v'nofik, Hi, Machzik min Beisa. And when the real owner, the Roichel, would come home, he, the occupant, would leave. V'lo yotale zeh ha'ma'ar me'oilom she'ichzik zeh b'veso. L'kaf shosek v'lo micha. And as a result, the original owner never issued a complaint. Hilkoch yovi ha'machzik edim shelo yotz min ha'bayas kol shoshon mafilu laylo achas. Therefore, we will demand of the Machzik in such a case that he has to bring witnesses that he was there for 3 years and didn't miss even one night. We continue in the Gemara, second line from the top. Umoide Rav Huna. Rav Huna is the Shita that said that we require 3 years Ritzufos, a successive 3 years. Rav Huna will be Moida, will concede Bechanusa de Mechuza de Yomama Avida, the Leila Lo Avida. A store, the Mechuza stores, are used by day and not used by night. And therefore, in a case like that, even we will say that he will be able to gain a chazaka even if he was not there during the night times. Rashi, the Rashbam, that is, Umoide Rav Huna, Afagav the boy Ritzufos Yoim Valailo, Bechan, even though Rav Huna requires a complete 3 years in successive terms, that would mean 3 years day and night, Bechan Vesnusa de Mechuza, in those places, those are Chanuyas Shemurchen Lem Lechviayim, grocery stores, if you will, where they sell bread and wine, the toyin ain chishin l'tanoso. The afagav de lo dor bo belelos chazokim al yisohi shein dirasan elo biyom. If the original owner were to issue a claim, I didn't see you there at night, we wouldn't reckon with that. And rather, even if he wasn't there at night, the chazaka would be a chazaka. As we said before, these are not used, they're not used at during the nighttime. We'll see Mirtz Hashem in the Tosfos a more elaborate approach to this issue when we get there. In the meantime, we turn our attention back to the Tosfos, Dibur HaMaskil Hani, on Chof Tes Omen Aleph. It's the second to last Tosfos. This is a reference to the Gemara, four lines from the bottom of Chof Tes Omen Aleph, Hani Noigin Bei Dusenhein, a reference to seeking testimony on behalf of the machzik through tenants in a rented property where they testify they have been there, they rented from the machzik and they've been there day and night, and you know, we paid him our rent. And regarding that, the Gemara said, how can you accept testimony from there? They have a vested interest in testifying that it belongs to the machzik. After all, they paid him they paid him their rent already. If they were, let us to say, not testify on behalf of the machzik, they'll end up having to pay again to the morakama, to the complainer. And therefore, they have a vested interest in testifying. And to that, as we said, the Gemara said, they're no geah be'edus. How can you suggest accepting testimony from them? We have a taksir on the side, which reads as follows. Shelo tshuva, lomo hasirchin nechshavim nogin be'edus ha ikomihu. Why do you call them no geah be'edus, vested interest in their testimony? Should they not be believed through a miguru type argument? Namely, believe us in what we're saying, because we could have said something else that would have been certainly believed. That's a migu. And now we turn to the Tosfos. V'im toimar v'mai havu noigin beidus. Why do you describe these tenants as having, say, their testimony is tainted by virtue of their vested interest? Ha'iko migu, dehavi motzi amri. Do they not have a migu with their ability to have said porano loch agar? You'll notice that we have a bracketed section. The reason for the brackets is that this represents the end of the essence of the question. The Iker question ends here. Within the bracketed section, there is a he'ora that Tosfos makes, a point that Tosfos makes, that at a later time in history, later than what the Gemara is referring to, there would be no room for thinking that the witnesses have such a migu. In other words, the migu falls away, doesn't exist. However, since we are dealing with the Mishnah, how can you gain a chazoka of 3 years, cheskes habatim, historically at the point of the Mishnah compilation, there was room for issuing or for suggesting such a migu. Now, we didn't explain the migu, we just read it in the Gemara. When the witnesses say, we paid rented from the machzik, why don't we believe them? Because they could have said, we paid you, the ma'arer. You'll notice after the brackets, the Tosfos says v'yesh lomar. Tosfos responds that that's not considered a migu. They wouldn't never they wouldn't have said that to him in the first place, because maybe the machzik would have won out and he would then claim from them a second payment. Let's now go over the Tosfos with the bracketed section. Tosfos is asking, why do you call them, these tenants, Noigin Be'edus? Could they not have said, believe us, when we say we paid, we rented from him and dwelt, rented from him, namely the Machzik, and we paid him the rent, and we dwelt there for 3 years, day and night. And believe us when we say that, because we could have said, well, we paid you. The afal gav, the boser, the tikkun rabbon and shvuas heses, lo mehemni lasude b'haymigu. Once the rabbonon in the zman of the Gemara established a shvuas heses, that's a rabbinic oath, an oath that's rabbinically imposed. When you, for example, claim that you don't owe any money, even though on a Torah level such a claim is believable, on a rabbinic level, you have to swear to back that kind of claim up. And therefore, since there's an oath that a person has to take, that what a person would have to take under these circumstances, so a person therefore is not believed with the migu. As the Gemara in the beginning of the second parak of Kiddushin states, Haha da amas nisin kaiminon, here in our sugya, where we're coming to explain the Mishnah, Vakati lo niskino shvuas heses, and at that point during the era of the Mishnayos, this shvuas heses was not yet invented, not yet imposed. My porich, why does the Gemara ask or question the acceptability of these witnesses as being noigeya be'edus lehem nei b'migu? Let us believe them with the migu that we described before. Believe us when we say we rented from him the machzik and paid him for dwelling day and night for 3 years, when we could have said, we paid you, the ma'arer. V'yesh lomar, dehai lav migu hu. That's not considered a migu. That's not considered a claim that they that they could have made or would have made. Sheyireim lomar paranu loch. They would be afraid to say, we paid you. Ki shemo yizke ho'acher bedin. The machzik might end up winning in the case, and coming on the heels of their saying they paid the ma'arer, the yitba mehem pam shenis, the machzik, will claim rent payment from them a second time. So they, being that they don't have that potential. Kind of saying we paid you because of this fear, they are considered no gea beidus. They don't have an alternative claim that they would have made. We continue with the next thesis, Dibur HaMaschil, Omar. A reference to the Gemara, two lines from the bottom. You'll note that this thesis, though it starts here, it continues quite a way onto Chavtes Amud Beis. And as we said, when we were learning the Gemara, that the approach taken by the Rashbam regarding Marzutra was as mil sabapi nafsha. On the side we have a taktir for this tosis. The first point that he deals with, she'ela u'tshuva, well, tosis raises a question and then answers, lomo ein drisha v'hakira al ha'ede chazoka filu b'mikre shelo mi'idim al halelos. Witnesses that come and say that we're aware of the Machzik's presence there for 3 years. Why is that enough? We saw in the Gemara where Marzucha said, if the Ma'arer demands explicit testimony concerning the nights, then we demand that of the witnesses. But is it not so that in general, in testimony, we have rules considered called cross-examination or drisha v'hakira? Questions of an investigative nature are raised, are presented to the witnesses, and as such, we will ask concerning the nights and expect testimony concerning the nights. How can it then be suggested by the Gemara, in light of the requirement of drisha v'chakir of witnesses, that if the Ma'ara doesn't demand testimony concerning the nights, we don't expect it of them? On Amud Beis, the next point, on Amud Beis, the approach of the Rach and then later Rabbeinu Tam will be presented in terms of the understanding of our sugya from the bottom of our Amud Aleph here until the second line of the Gemara on Amud Beis. So that will have to go over the Gemara we learned already through the approach of the Rach and Rabbeinu Tam, and their approaches b'shoneh meharashbam. Their approaches are different than that of the Rashbam, Shomar de Marzutra, that appeared here 2 lines from the bottom, Havimilsa Bapi Nafshe, that Marzutra was an independent statement. And now the Tosfos. Omar Marzutra, Itoyin V'Omar V'Chulei. If the original owner would demand testimony concerning the nights, so then, and only then would we require that of the witnesses. Hiksha Re Bar Mordechai. The Pirsha Kuntris, according to the Rashbam, Ki Lo Toyin Nami, even if the Ma'arer would not demand the information concerning use during nights, Amai Lo Nish'al Mehen, why would we not, the court themselves not ask of the witnesses who came and said that we saw it being used for 3 years, did you see it being used at nights as well? Kishemo Einon Yodin Al Halelos. Maybe they don't know about the nighttime use. And we should ask that of them. Shelo notzi al pihen shelo kadin. If they don't know about the nights, and we require use during the nights, we're going to end up taking away, we want to avoid taking away property shelo kadin. Debechol edios anu dorshim yofe. In all other cases of testimony, we investigate thoroughly. V'kanami amai lo nachkor oison misofek. Why should we not investigate them thoroughly? In other words, if maybe they don't know about the nights, and we're going to take away property from the original owner and give it to the machzik shelo kadin, that by their testimony that the machzik has been there for 3 years, but maybe he wasn't there at night, and we need to know that he was there at night. And if we rely on their words without knowing explicitly about the nights, we'll cause an unfair loss to the original owner. So very simply, why don't we apply to this testimony drisha v'chakira like we do in general to testimony? V'lav pirchohi. Tosfos responds as to the Bar Mordechai's question. It's not a question. The kevon she'idu al hayomim, since they testified about the presence of the machzik there during 3 years of daytime, Afilu Yomru, even if they were to say, Ein, we continue on to Amud Beis, Onu Yoidim Al Halelos, we don't know about the use at night. Mistoma, we nevertheless assume, Kevon Shador B'yomim Dornami B'alelos, since he was dwelling, the Machzik was there by day, he was there by night as well, in all probability. Unless the Ma'arer, the Morakama, the complainer, would, unless he would say explicitly that, I know he was not there at nights. So we assume, since he was using, the Machzik was using it there by day, he most likely was using it there by night, and that's strong enough to enable us to conclude use at night, even without any drisha v'chakira concerning the nighttime use. As you scan ahead in the Tosfos, you'll notice numerous different markings. We explain on the side under the Mivneh heading, the crown shape that you see will highlight the Rach, Rabbeinu Chananel, and the next time you see a crown, you'll see it a little more than halfway down the narrow section of the Tosfos, the Rabbeinu Tam. Kol Echad Masbir Es HaGemara, each one, Rach and Rabbeinu Tam, will explain the Gemara, Misoif Omid Aleph B'Shoneh Me'Rashbam, in a fashion different than the Rashbam did. Another marking that you'll see, a triangle, its purpose is L'Kasher Bein Chelkei HaTosfos HaKshurim L'Pirusho Shel Rabbeinu Chananel. Within the Rabbeinu Chananel, will be trying to tie together, create a relationship between different points in the Tosfos, and that's the function of the triangle. Another marking that we will encounter shortly is the diamond, and that will highlight Mar Zutra. And by focusing on this, we will be able to highlight, we've written on the side, L'Havli Desasheni Bein Rabbeinu Chananel V'Rabbeinu Tam, to help identify the difference between the Rach and the Rabbeinu Tam's approach. So now, with that in mind, and the necessity of, we'll say, going over the Gemara again from the bottom of Chof Tes Omid Aleph till the very top of Chof Tes Omid Beis, we continue. V'Rabbeinu Chananel Piresh Demor Zutra Koi Apircha Derav Yemar. Unlike the Rashbam, who said that Marzutra was Milsav Apinashe, the Rabbeinu Chananel says that Marzutra is a reference to the question that Rav Yemar had raised, the Porich Neugin Beidusonein, regarding those tenants that the Machzik brought in as witnesses, those tenants that already paid the Machzik. Rav Yemar said, of course they're going to say they rented from the Machzik. They have a vested interest. If the Machzik loses, then they will have to pay the Morakama from out of their pocket a second time. V'ko'omar Marzutra. And regarding Rav Yemar's point, Marzutra says, Itoyin v'omar ha-Machzik. If the Machzik would have said, Laisu Trey Sadi the Doru Bay Sholoshonim Yoim Uvalila the Hovu Lead Agra the Nofku the Oslu Lahu the Hano the Dairi Bay Achrimi Ninu. Let there come forth, says the Machzik, two witnesses that were in fact tenants that had lived in my property, as the Machzik claims it is his, and they dwelt there for 3 years, day and night, and they already paid me. But they also left. They're no longer my tenants.
the current tenants are others, Tanoso Taina, that would have been a legitimate Taina. This is all what Mar Zutra is saying, according to Rabbeinu Hananel, that tenants that would claim that they were there day and night, and they are no longer tenants, they moved out after 3 years of living there day and night, they're not considered Nogea Beidus. Tanosoi Taina, Velo Noigin Beidus Sunhein. Notice the approach of Rabbeinu Hananel is that this is the Machzik who's making the claim, let these guys serve as my witnesses. That's different than Rashbam. The Rashbam said that it was the Morakama making a claim, I want to hear testimony about the knights also. No, the Rabbeinu Hananel is saying that it's the Machzik saying that such witnesses that I could produce would be good, and they're not Nogea Beidus. The ha lo dairi bo hashta de motzi lemeimaluhu havu li agar besod. They are not dwelling there now. They're not there anymore. That in the event that the machzik wins, would he be able to demand of them payment? Namely, in a case like that, they were open to having testified that it belonged to the Ma'arer. And if, as we said before, that they would be afraid to do so because if the Machzik would win, they'd have to pay him a second time, not so. They wouldn't have to pay him a second time. Elo, Inu Omru, Dayarna, they are saying, we lived here for 3 years day and night, having rented it from the Machzik. The Inhu Omru Paranu, they are revealing to us that they had been tenants, and they are also telling us that we paid him. V'hapesh shosar hu hapesh yitir. This is a well-known legal principle, that literally the mouth, the words that prohibit or that bind are also it's the same one that releases. The Ibo Amri, they could have said, Lo Dayarno Bay, we never lived here. Veleko Lemeimar, and there's no room for saying the Dilmo Makhish Lahu, that maybe the original owner would contradict them, would challenge them. Shehu lo hoya yodea klal shehu dorim ba'oso bias. He doesn't know that they were. He doesn't know they were living there to begin with in that house. So, Mar Zutra, as far as the Rach is concerned, is a response to Rav Yemar in such that tenants that had already paid their rent are not automatically to be viewed as Nogea Beidus if you have circumstances like those that we just described. Ubesomuch lo garsinon. The Tesis is referring to the top line of the Gemara right here on Omid Beis. Do not have as the Girsa Moide Mar Zutra, where Mar Zutra is the one that concedes. Elo Umoide. Now here we have a phrase marking, so take note of that. Rather, one should read as follows, that Umoide Rova De Boinon Shaloi Shonim Bimomo Valela. Rava, that in general requires testimony concerning 3 years day and night. And Rava said that in the context of the Roichlin Hamachzirin Bayoros. Rava, who does require Shaloi Shonim Bimomo Valela, Im Hanoch Edim Heim Roichlin Hamachzirin Bayoros, Let me correct what I said before. Rava, who we saw on Omid Aleph, six lines from the bottom, Rava said that testimony of 3 years requires testimony of use day and night. Rava, however, will depart from that demand. Im hanoch edim heim roichlim avzir bayoros. If they, the witnesses happen to be traveling salesmen. Afagav de lo amru de doru bay sholo shonem biyamoma uvalela. Even if they don't say that the machzik was there 3 years, day and night, el amri, all they say is biodenu hoyozeh habayis sholo shonem ritzufos. Let me correct myself once again. Not the machzik, but the witnesses that are testifying on behalf of the machzik happen to be roichin amavzir bayoros. Their testimony is acceptable even if they don't say that they were there 3 years, day and night. It's sufficient that they, the roichin amavzirin, who were in fact tenants of the machzik, they tell us that the house was in our possession as tenants for 3 consecutive years. Afagav shiyomim rabim hei machazrin bayoros v'lohoyu lonim boze habayis edus on edus. Even though there were many days that went by that they were traveling from city to city and did not sleep at all in that house, their testimony is nevertheless accepted. For Rabbeinu Tam Goras, with reference to the Gemara, five lines from the bottom of Omid Aleph, Rabbeinu Tam has in his Girsa, the Dayarno Beisholoi Shonim. We lived in the house. The tenants who claim they rented from the Machzik say we lived in the house 3 years. Upiresh, and Rabbeinu Tam explains that Abayev Rava Travayu Sfira Lahu, both agree. The Ain Tzorch Lahovi Edim Al Hayomi V'Al HaLeilois. It's not necessary. It's not a legal demand on the part of the court that the machzik has to bring witnesses regarding the day and the nights. V'Rava Lo Omar B'Yamama Uvalelia. Rava, in commenting in his words, day and night, he said that Ela Lahaitzi Hamaksha Misvaroso. Simply as a response to the Maksha in the Gemara that wanted to prove from the Mishnah that spoke of Cheskes Habatim that you don't require Ritzufos. Rava was saying that you can't show that, you can't demonstrate the waiving of the Ritzufos requirement from Cheskes Habatim, because testimony concerning houses and their use day and night could exist, could be produced, but not that we demand that. V'lo liflugi abai osa, Rava in the Gemara was not coming to argue with that which Abaye had said. Now, once again, that's all a reference to what we saw toward the six lines from the end of the Gemara, five, six lines from the end of the Gemara, Omid Aleph, on the first wide line there back on Omid Aleph. Abaye pointed out that testimony concerning houses is testimony that would be by the Shechinah, by neighbors, and neighbors could testify about day and night. Rava wasn't arguing with Shechinah being good witnesses. All that Rava was trying to do, as far as the Rabbeinu Tam is concerned, was trying to, we'll say, deflect the Gemara's kasha from Rav Huna's requirement of Ritzufos, the kasha that was raised from Cheskes Habatim. and Rav is telling us that in the case of Cheskabatim, you can find testimony that would result in Shalosh Shanim Ritzufos. The Ka'omar Marzutrop, Im Omar, and once again, we now have the Rabbeinu Tam's approach to what was Marzutra's role in the Sukkia. The Ka'omar Marzutra, Im Omar, Ha'iduni Stam, if the Machzik would say, testify on my behalf, Shedarti Gimel Shonim, that I dwelled in this house 3 years, Becheskas Yom Velelos, with the assumption that I was there during the day and the night. Even though the witnesses didn't see in actuality all of the days and the nights, but rather it's an assumption that we make. And why do we make this assumption? Because shekol shah shayu nichnasim. Whenever the witnesses entered, sometimes by day, sometimes by night, they saw this machzik in the house. Tano say taino. This is an expression that we saw on the bottom line of the Gemara on Omer Aleph. Now that term tano say taino. The Tosfos points out, "V'havi le lemeimar edus on edus," their testimony of the we saw the machzik there over a period of 3 years, and we assume that means day and night because whenever they showed up, they saw the machzik there by day, and sometimes they showed up there by night and they saw him there by night. They're edus on edus. That's really what the Gemara could have said. Instead of the term Tanosei Taina. So why does the term Tanosei Taina appear? Elo agav denokit bereisho demilsei, two lines from the bottom on Omer Aleph. In the first part of his statement, Marzutra said, I to'in, if he should be to'ain, and that means that if he, the machzik, should say, come and testify for me, as we explained earlier. So, therefore, Omer Nami Tanosei Taina, for balance of grammatical balance or stylistic balance, the end of his phrase also uses the term Tanosei Taina, when in reality it means that the testimony that we just described, a Dusanatus, would have been good testimony. Now we continue with the Rabbeinu Tam's approach to the top line here on Omid Beis. Umoide Rava. We saw in the Gemara Umoide Marzutra. Really, Rabbeinu Tam says that Umoide Rav Vuadin, Marzutra Vabaye, they all concede that Beroichlin Hamachazrin Bayorois, the traveling salesmen that are going to serve as witnesses, once again, different than the Rashbam's approach, who had the Roichlin Hamachazrin Bayoros, a reference to the Ma'arer. Nope. The Rabbeinu Tam explains that the Roich Lemazirin is a reference to the witnesses. Afagav de lo to'an taninon lei. That, again, is from the Loshon of the Gemara. What does that mean? De'ein tzrichim lohoid shero'u mamish. They don't have to testify that they actually saw. Shereheim mechazrin bayoros. They travel, and therefore they're infrequently in that locale. It's sufficient for them to say that the house was in the possession of this machzik for 3 years, day and night. You'll notice that we highlighted the word shiro'u with a bow tie shape, and you notice that the different that we did so to highlight the difference between re'iyah over here and that which we saw earlier. At this point, we now continue with the Tosfos Dibur Maskil U Moide. This is a reference to the Gemara two lines from the top, where it said, Umoide Rav Huna Bechanusa de Mechuza De Biyamama Avdi Ubalela Lo Avdi. Rav Huna concedes that even though he is the author of the necessity of Shalosh Shanim Ritzufos, three successive complete years, if you're dealing with a chazaka on Chanusa de Mechuza, the stores of Mechuza, then in light of the fact that they are used, as we said, grocery stores that are open by day and closed at night, he concedes. Now, what does that mean that he concedes? Before we continue in the rest of the Tosfos, we glance at the side. We have a taksir, which reads as follows: Mahu achidush bekach shemoide Rav Huna bechanusa de mechuza de avdi rak biyomim. What is the chidush of the Gemara in telling us that Rav Huna concedes regarding these type of stores that are used only by day? She'ein tzarich l'gimel shanim ritzufos ela mefuzaros, that you don't have to have three consecutive years, but the 3 years will be mefuzar. Now we go back to the Tosfos again from the Dibur HaMaskil. Moide Rav Huna b'chanusa de mechuzah de biyamama avdi uvelela lo avdi. Pirush umoil lohem im hechziku gimel shanim v'afagav de lav shalosh ritzufos ela mefuzaros. The 3 years will be the 3 years of chazaka will be achieved even though they weren't three consecutive years, but rather 3 years in a spread out fashion. We'll explain that a little more thoroughly as we go on. Kevan d'urchayu b'hachi, since their normal use is like that, namely use only by day, d'havi ka'asri d'movri bagi, they would then be similar in halachic terms to locales where the practice is to leave fields over the course of time fallow. In other words, as we have learned earlier, 14 lines from the bottom of the Gemara on Omen Aleph, there were places that they would not cultivate the fields every single year, but sometimes a year would go by and they would not cultivate, leave it movri, they would leave it fallow. In places like that, the 3 years are not going to be in 3 years of successive use. V'im toimar im kain, if that be the case, then pshita de moide Rav Huna kideporach li'el gabi bagi. Then what Rav Huna is telling us here would be obvious, just like the Gemara asked before in the case of the Asra de Movri Bagi, that if the practice of the locale is to leave a field, to leave fields fallow, then the 3 years it will be achieved even if it's not used every single year. So wouldn't the same obvious point apply here to the Chanusa de Mechuza, that you can gain a chazaka even if you don't have use during the nights? V'yesh lomar. Tosfos explains that the conclusion regarding Chalus Mechuzah from the Asur Demovri Bagi is not so obvious. Lefish Bnei Adam Sheinam Chenvonim Dorin Bohen Bein Biyum Uba Laila. There are people that are not merchants that happen to live in stores, and they live in the stores by day and by night, as any dwelling would be. The Oisan Tsrichin Gimel Shanim Ritzuvos Yom V'Laila. And those kind of people, the non-merchants who live in stores, in order to gain a chazaka, they would need testimony of use by day and by night. The salta daitoch, and the thinking was the chenvonim nami itzdarchu kein, that the store owners would also require that, namely use of testimony concerning use by day and by night. Komash malon, and that's what Rav Huna is telling us, that we don't expect that kind of testimony if the machzik, the possessor, happens to be a merchant as well. Umehai taima osi shapir deboinon luhu shalosh shanim shlemos. And with this in mind, we also understand our requirement of 3 full years. Now, how do you have 3 full years if there is use only by day? Dahainu vav shanim. You'll have to have 6 years of daytime use will give you 3 full years for chazaka. And notice, here you see a contrast between the din of the chanusa de mechuza and the case of the fields, the asur de mavri bagi. Afagav de besodois ube sabadim lo boinin elo sholo yishonim bein hakol. Even though regarding fields and presses, olive presses, when we speak of 3 years, it's 3 years including the nights. Hainu mishum de kamo sha'ar b'nei odom hadorim sham she'ein chenvonim bo gimu shonim b'yom v'layla. Hochanami chenvonim bo gimu shonim shleimos dainu vav shonim. Let's go over this point. Even though, with regard to fields and olive presses, it's enough that we have testimony concerning 3 years, 3 years of daytime use. That means when Tosha said Sholosh Shana Bein Hakol, means it's three consecutive years. That's enough. And Bein Hakol meaning, which will include day and night. Not so in the case of the stores. And why not? Because in the case of the stores, as we mentioned earlier, there are non-merchants that live in stores, and their use their chazoka will be established only if we can verify 3 years of day and night. So too with regard to the store, the machzik, who is a merchant, who is a store owner, we will require 3 complete years. Ah, but the store is not open at night. And that's what Tosis means when he says, "Dahainu vav shanim." That's achieved only if you can have testimony of his use of the store as a merchant for over a period of 6 years. The ha de lo icy laha liel. This liel is a reference to Omer Aleph, 14 lines from the bottom. Gabi umoide ravuna. We have here the dibur of maschil of our tesis is umoide ravuna bechanusa de mechuzah. Ravuna, who authored the necessity of having Ritzufos, concedes here, but he also was Moide on Omen Aleph, 14 lines from the bottom. So if you go back to your Gemara on Chov Tes Omen Aleph, and you'll notice your the first appearance of the crown shape. Again, I should say earlier there too, you saw Moed Rav Huna. Why? That means that you have examples of Rav Huna departing from the Ritzufos requirement. So why is this not taught over there? Let's read that again in the words of Tosfos. V'ha d'lo maisi l'ha li'el gabi amoyde Rav Huna. Oimer Rabbeinu tam ishim d'lo salka shmaitza d'boti. Simply because the Gemara had not finished its discussion concerning houses, the Gemara waited before it presented this second Moide Rav Huna. In other words, the Gemara got involved with a discussion concerning houses, and it wanted to finish that discussion before it would present this second example of where Rav Huna concedes. And he says that stylistically, a similar structural phenomenon you find in the sixth parak, at the end of the sixth parak of Bava Kamma, where the Chachamim concede to Rav Yehuda. At this point, we go back to the Gemara on Chof Tes Amud Beis, four lines from the top. The Gemara says, Rami Bar Chama Rav Ukva Bar Chama. Actually, before we continue too much in the Gemara, we glance at the side. We have a topic heading: Shnayim Shikonu Shivcha. Two purchased a bondmaid, Vishtam Shuba Bishonim Lesirugim, and they used this Shivcha in a staggered fashion, alternating year fashion. 1 year you, 1 year me. 1 year you, 1 year me. And now back to the Gemara. Rami Bar Chama, Rav Ukva Bar Chama, two sons of Chama, Zavun Hahi Amsa Bahadi Adadi. They jointly purchased a bondmaid. Mar is Shtamish Bo Shonu Shlishis Chamishis. One used her first year, third year, and fifth year. And the other used her second, fourth, and sixth years. Nafak aror iluha. And then there emerged a challenge to their ownership. Someone claimed, some outsider claimed his ownership of that bondmaid. Asu l'kamei d'rava. So the case was presented. D'rava, Omar Lahu. Rava said to them, "My time of disu hachi." He said in a rhetorical fashion, "Why did you, though you bought her jointly, why did you use her in that fashion, in an alternating year fashion? Ki hechi d'lo tachseku adodi, so that you would not form, that one would not form a chazoka one over the other." In other words, if the first one who bought her used her for 3 years, for three consecutive years, he would be able to claim exclusive ownership. And as far as a document of purchase is concerned, he no longer has it, as we learned earlier. So Rava says, just like your use of the Amsa, of the bondmaid, was so that you would not develop a chazaka one over the other, the Almonami lo havu chazaka. With regard to the rest of the world, you also do not have a chazaka. So unless you can produce some kind of shtar, you don't have a chazaka to fall back on, and the ma'arer would gain her as his possession. The lo amar ella the lo kosuv itra. This din applies only if there was no itra prepared. And the itra is a shtar chaluka, as the Rashbam says. It's a document indicating their having bought her in jointly, and split her use. Rashi says, Yitro shtar chaluka ubi edim shetavod lezeh shana v'lezeh shana. This is a document with signatures on it, with witnesses having signed it, and in the document it says that she would serve the owners in alternating years as we describe. The Gemara continues. We'll read that phrase again in the Gemara. V'lo amar nel de lo kosav yitro, avo kosav yitro kola islay. If there were an itra, so then that produces or creates public knowledge. As far as what's the power of that coil, there is a discussion in the Rashbam, and we can take a look at the Rashbam. You notice we've circled where we left off in the Rashbam just before. V'yesh meforshim kola islay v'have lo v'hoya lo limchos miyad v'lo micha u'la'alter havichazokav. If there is an itra that's prepared, it produces public awareness of their relationship, these partners in her, and if there's anyone that's going to object to their ownership, they should have protested immediately. And if they didn't protest immediately, then they gain a chazaka on her immediately. The kamisha mochlem befonenu domi. It's as if previous owner had sold her to them in our presence. After all, he allowed them to bring witnesses and write up a shtar chaluka and remained silent. Let us now turn back to the Gemara. Omar Rava. And actually, before reading the Gemara, let's again take advantage of our topic heading, the Nosei. Karka shechelik mimeno eino basriya, a piece of land, part of which is non-arable. It's rocky. Haim hi niknes cheskas gimel shonim agav shar adama, is it acquired in chazaka terms together with the rest of the land that is cultivated? Oboinon shishtamish bo gamkein shimush hamatim lo. Or maybe there is a specific requirement of use of that land in a fashion that is useful, that is pertinent to non-arable soil. Kagon, Yibush Peros, O Lamodas Behemos. Example would be using the plot of land for drying fruits, spreading out fruits to dry in the sun, or a place for positioning your animals. The Gemara. Omar Rava. Ochlo kula chutz mi beis Rava. Kona kula chutz mi beis Rava. A person was machzik on a piece of property and consumed it completely except for a beis Rava. That's a measure of, it's an area measure. And he used the entire field except for that area. That size of the field, he acquires the whole thing except for that. Oma Ravuna Braid Rav Yeshua Velo Moron Ela Debar Zriyahi. That we said that you don't gain a chazoka on that which you did not cultivate, meaning that base rova, that's only if it's something that could have been cultivated. Avalav Bar Zriyahi Kono Loagavaro. However, if it's not arable, then the machzik would gain a chazaka on it along with the rest of the field that he was able to cultivate and did so. Maskav Rav Beva Bar Abaye, Rav Beva asks on Rav Huna Rav Yeshua, Elameata, with your qualification in mind, namely, that if it's not a bar zriya, then you're not expected to do anything with it. Tsunama, that's a rock land, a big piece of land that's made of rocky terrain. Tsunama, b'mayikne, how does one acquire a chazaka on tsunama, and one does. How? Ela bo kumi ba chiyuso mishtacha ba peri. He does so. He gets his chazaka on tsunama by by standing his animals over there, or by using the surface of the land for drying out fruits, for drying, creating dried fruits. Hochanami, so too, in our example of the base rovah, a small part of the field that is arable, that small part that wasn't, nevertheless, iboyale lukmi bo chiyusa, inami mishtacha bo peri, there's an expectation of your using it for animal positioning or for drying out fruits on that small part of land, on that base rovah. And if, and with that, Rav Beivai challenges Rav Huna Bar Rav Yeshua's leniency. As we go on, we have a marking. You see a triangle, and there's a structural note, a mivnet, which indicates that this series continues to lamed on the base. And it, we highlight the expression Ahu Diomar Leila Chavre. There'll be many cases of someone challenging someone else's possession of property. A double underline will highlight the challenge. My boys, Bahai Besa, or Ara, what are you doing in this house, or what are you doing on this land? Sidur Shel Mikrim, a series of store of situations, Shel Tvias Mocher, where a original owner, Shel Tvias Mocher Morakama, Utkuvas Hamuchsak, where an original owner is laying a claim, and the response on the part of the Muchsak, the one who's in possession of it. The Gemara, Hahud Amar Le Lechavre, my boyis Bahai Beisa. Someone said to his friend, "What are you doing in this house?" Amar Le, Minoch Zavinte Va'achlis Shnei Chazaka. I bought it from you, and I've been here for Shnei Chazaka, for the Chazaka years of that are required. Omar Le, the original owner, says, Ano Bishchuni Gavoy Havoy. If we glance at the Rashbam, the lower part of the page, Ano Bishchuni Gavoy Havoy, Bechadorim Hapnimim Hoisiku Dirosi, I lived in inner rooms of this house, and I used to walk through the rooms that you were in, and I used the outer rooms along with you that you lived in. You were there with my permission. Therefore, I didn't raise any objection. I didn't make a macha. We've explained extensively since the beginning of the perek that a chazaka is achieved only in under circumstances that would have otherwise incited the original owner to issue a protest. If the circumstances are such that the original owner was not motivated or incited to protesting, there's no chazaka. So with the original owner's response, ano b'shchune gavoy havoy, there doesn't appear to be any room for a chazaka on the part of the muchzak. You'll notice the use of diamonds on the side of the mandir of the mivnet. We have osu l'kamei Shnei Mikrim, Shigil Tnei Rav Nachman, Verova, Venira, Shehem, Soysun Es Hatzmom. And in the course of the Gemara, we will see that they seem to be contradicting themselves. So in the meantime, we deal with the first case that we have on hand. The case came to Rav Nachman. Omar Lei, Rav Nachman said to the Machzik Zil Bror Achiloscha. Bror would mean to clarify, bring witnesses that you lived in the house by yourself for 3 years without this guy coming with you, named who we would refer to as the original owner, and only then would you be able to claim ownership. Omar le Rava. Rava responds to Rav Nachman and says, Hochi Dino, is this the way to judge? Do we not have a principle, Hamoitzi Mechavero Olivaraya? That the one who is trying to extract, change the status quo, he, upon him is the burden of proof. Who is the Motzi Mechavero over here? The Mocher, the original owner, is Motzi, is trying to take away from the Muchzok, from the one who is currently in possession. Let us, in simplistic terms, say that Rav Nachman is coming to the benefit of the Mocher, and Rava is coming forth to benefit the machzik, or the lokach, the purchaser. Now, with that, we'll say that simplistic approach in mind, Rav Nachman siding with Mocher, Rava siding with lokach, we raise the following contradiction. The Rami de Rava de Rava, the Rami de Rav Nachman de Rav Nachman. We raise a seeming contradiction within Rava and within Rav Nachman. Dahu, we continue at the top of Daf Lamed. The Omer Leila Chavre, who's once said to his friend the following: Kol Nichsi de Bay Bar Sisin Mazvino Loch. All the lands, grounds, properties that I bought from a person called Bar Sisin, I am selling to you. Let's read that again. Kol nichsi de bay Bar Sisin mazvino loch. Hava hahi ara da hava mikri de bay Bar Sisin. There was a parcel of land that was called Bar Sisin. Omarle, the Mocher says, Ha, ha lav de bay Bar Sisin, he vikriu de mikri de bay Bar Sisin. It's not land that came from the Bar Sisin family. It's just called that. We look at the Rashbam at the top line, Kol nichsi de bay Bar Sisin, klomar kol oisin karkos, shekonisi me oisei odem shishmo Bar Sisin. All those properties that I bought from Bar Sisin, I'm going to sell to you. There was one parcel of land, however. We continue in the Rashbam, the Mikri de Bay Bar Sisin, Kach Kurin Lo, V'ein Yodua Im Konami Bay Bar Sisin, Ulafikach Nikres Kain, O Kach Shmo Me'olam, V'Yerusha Hilo Me'avoisav. Two possibilities of what Mikri Bar Sisin might be. Either there's a doubt whether this Mocher ever bought it from the Bar Sisin, or it's simply called that, but it's a piece of land that he, the Mocher, inherited from his predecessors. The Gemara continues, Omar Le, we read that already, we continue with the diamond that you see, also the Kamei, the Rav Nachman. The two parties came to Rav Nachman. Ukma biyoda de lokeach. Notice, Rav Nachman favors here the purchaser. He enabled the lokeach to take possession of it. Amale Rava dina hachi. Rava says, is that the way to judge matters? Hamotzi mechaver lavaraya. The motzi, namely the lokeach, the one who's trying to take it away for himself, he has upon him the burden of proof. So Rava is siding with the Mocher. Now all you do is you compare this with what we noted at the bottom of Chof Tes Amid Beis, and you, what do we have? Kashi the Rava, Kashi the Rav Nachman. The Rav Nachman would have a contradiction in Rava's rulings and a contradiction in Rav Nachman's rulings. On the bottom of Chof Tes Amid Beis, we saw Rav Nachman favoring the Mocher, and here Rav Nachman is favoring the Lokeach. Earlier, Rava favored the Lokeach, and here Rava is favoring the Mocher. The Gemara responds, we have a long answer marking. The Rava lo kashya. There's no contradiction within Rava's rulings. In general, Rava says that the property is maintained in the hands of the one who is muhsak, who is in possession of it. Hassam, in the second case, there was an issue of a sale of a group of plots, properties. Who is the current possessor of the properties? Mocher koy v'nichseit. The mocher, the seller, is in possession of the lands, and it's a question of what is he transferring over to a buyer. Hacha, in the first case, lokeach koy v'nichseit. There was a house, and the muhsak had been there for 3 years. So he was considered in possession of it. So as far as Rava is concerned, there's no inconsistency. He favors the one who is muhsak. You just have to evaluate in each case who is the muhsak. The Rav Nachman, Ami lo kashya. Regarding Rav Nachman, also no contradiction. Hassam, in case number 2 with the Bar Sisan properties, Kevon Yomar Le the Bay Bar Sisan, since the Mocher said, I'm selling you Bay Bar Sisan properties. Umikri the Bay Bar Sisan, and the questionable property happened to be called Bay Bar Sisan. Ole Dide, Rami Lugli, the Lav, the Bay Bar Sisan. The burden of proof is on the Mocher to prove, if he wants to keep it, to prove that it's not Bar Sisan. It's not property that he bought from the Bar Sisan folks. Avol Hacha, but in the case, the first case, where he, Rav Nachman, ruled in favor of the Mocher, Lo Yehe Ela Denokit Shtora. As far as the purchaser is concerned, a chazoka is no stronger than someone who has a document, a shtar, proving his ownership. So in that case, in the first case, the machzik, the purchaser, isn't any stronger than someone holding a shtar. Milo amrinon le, would we not tell the lokeach, kayem shtorcha v'kum b'nichsi, verify your shtar through bringing witnesses that can testify to the authenticity of the signatures, and then you can keep the property. So that even so, in case number 1, that Rav Nachman appears to be favoring the original owner, that's because the muhsuk is not any better than someone who would be holding a shtar. And if you were holding a shtar, the burden of proof would be upon the purchaser to verify the signatures. At this point, we go back to the Tosfos. We go to Tosfos Gimel Masechet Dilo. On Daf Chof Tes Amud Beis. This is a reference to the Gemara, 9 lines from the top. We saw Rami Bar Chama and Mar Ukva Bar Chama that purchased a bondmaid and used her in alternating years. And they did so
Delo Texiku Adodi. We have a taktzir that accompanies this Tosfos, where we've written the following. Biur Hanogosam Shalomi Barchamu Varavukva, an explanation of their behavior, Laur Halocha de Shutfin Einlem Chazoka Zalze. There's I will say an established point of law that partners do not gain a chazoka one over the other. They are partners. They have joint ownership. So whenever you're dealing with partners, one doesn't gain a chazoka one over the other. So why was it so pressing for them, Romi Bar Chama and Ravukva Bar Chama, to use her in alternating years? Now the Tosfos. The Lo Tefsiku Adodi, the Afagav the Snan Lekamon, Hashutfin Elem Chazoka Zalza. Even though it's taught later on Mem Beis, Daf Mem Beis, that Shutfin don't have a Chazoka one over the other, and Lechora Mar Romi Bar Chama Mar Ukfa didn't need to use her in alternating years. Even without that, they wouldn't have gained a Chazoka one over the other. Pirush Rashi. The Hocha whose Kiku Lasois came. The Fisha Lohoya Lohem Ede Shutfis. That which we said that Shutfin Einem Chazoka Zalze, that is only if it's a known Shutfis. However, here, they did not have Ede Shutfis. There were no witnesses, according to the Rashi Pshat. There were no witnesses concerning their joint ownership of the bondmaid. And therefore, there was the potential for Chazoka, hence they used her in an alternating fashion. Fakashio Lari. The Im Kain, Oise Shehichsik Bo Shona Rishona. If you're going to tell me that there were no Eide Shutfis, then the one who used her the first year, Yomar Shuhu Shilo, he can lay claim that she is mine exclusively. Kevon Shein Eidim Shiesh L'Chavero Chelek, since there are no witnesses that the other one has a share in her. Fenira Elari, Delo Hoyuroitzim Shiachsik Ho Echod Sholo Shonim Sholo Tishtaka Hashutfis. It appears to me, according to the Ri, that even if you had Eide Shutfis, nevertheless, they didn't want either one to use her for three consecutive years because of the fear of the use of her for three consecutive years by one might cause a forgetting of their having owned her B'Shutfis. So even the people that you're relying on to serve as your witnesses for the Shutfis, they might forget if one uses her, if one of them would have used her for the first 3 years in a 3 year consecutive fashion. And of course, that's why they used her the way they did in alternating years. We continue with the Tosfos Dibur Maschil Avol. This refers to the Gemara 12 lines from the top regarding the bondmaid Avol Kosuv Itro Kola Isla. If they had an Itro, we mentioned before a Shtar Chaluka, then that would have created a koil, and that would have been able to fend off any ma'arer. V'ha d'amar v'amafkid, in the third parak of Bava Metzia, it says, Gabi ein moiridin l'nichse koton. The Gemara there discusses having someone take care of properties owned by a minor. And the Gemara tells us that we don't allow we don't allow that in the case of the properties owned by a minor. Lo shna ovid itra, lo shna lo ovid ein moridin. Regardless of whether there is a document that would testify to the, let's say, the fact that the property belongs essentially to the minor, and certainly if there is no such document, we still don't allow we don't allow someone else to descend and take care of the property out of the fear that they may claim ownership of it. I should be a little more precise in as far as the Gemara Bava Metzia is concerned. The prohibition is allowing a relative who is, we'll say, in the line of inheritance to cultivate the property of his relative, the minor, and we say that that prohibition is in place even if there is an itra, the shtar, that would declare the katan, the minor, to be the actual owner. So what do we see? We see that the itra doesn't effectively create a sufficient koil upon which we can rely. Because if it did, what's the problem of allowing a korov, a relative, to go descend upon and cultivate the, take care of the cotton's property? Can't we rely on the itra? So, in light of that Gemara, here yet we're saying that if there's an itra, there is a koil that's produced. The Gemara says, Gabi Yasmi Hichmir, when it comes to orphans, minors, we are stringent, and the result of that is that we don't rely in that case specifically on the itra. But when you're dealing with two adults that purchased the amo in a joint fashion, and they have a shtar chalukah that will serve to let's say deflect or fend off anyone who's ma'arer on that, on their ownership. We continue now with the Tosfos Dibur HaMaschil B'Shchuni. B'Shchuni Gavoy Havoy, a reference to the Gemara, five lines from the bottom. The original owner was telling the machzik, the reason I wasn't protesting is because I was in an inner room, and I was using the rest of the house, the outer part of the house where you were located, together with you, and you were there with my permission, hence I didn't issue any protest. I granted you permission to be there. V'havoi li derech alecha, and I had a path over you, meaning I was in an inner room, and I walked through the area in which you were located, and I saw you every day, and you were there with my permission. There was no need for me to issue any protest, but you're not the owner of it. The nira li shehoya lo edim shehoya b'shchuni gavoi avolo hoyu yoidim be'eze derech hoya yoitzei. It appears, says the Tosfos, that this Morakama, the original owner, has witnesses that he, the owner, original owner, lived in one of the inner rooms. What the witnesses did not know was what path did the original owner use to go out, to exit the house. And the emphasis here is that is on the idea that the original owner had witnesses that he was in an inner chamber. If original owner had no witnesses that he, original owner, was in inner chamber, how could Rav Nachman have turned to the machzik and say Zil Brora Chilascha. You have to clarify that you were there alone. The Otu Yesh Lahem Leide Chazoka Leida Shalohoya Hamarab Oisabais Kol Sholoshonim. Is it expected of Eide Chazoka to know that the Ma'arer was not in the house all 3 years? And if the Ma'arer would say, I was with you for 2 days, and you don't have 3 complete years by yourself? Vo'edim einon yoidim, and the witnesses don't know, yafsid, should the machzik lose as a result of that? Certainly not. Therefore, Tosfos concludes that in order for Rav Nachman to be motivated to put the burden of proof on the machzik zil brora chilascha, it must be that that original owner had witnesses that he, original owner, was in fact there in the inner chamber during that time. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.